try your best to get out of your own head and own it. Own how you are. Own the imperfections and everything, and people will come.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels. Stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Reinvention Rebels podcast. I am so excited that you joined me for this conversation about reinvention. I'm excited about my guest today, Ife Michelle Gardine. She is extraordinary, and you're going to have a chance to meet her in just a couple of minutes. But just a quick reminder that although I interview amazing women between 50 and 90 that have reinvented themselves in interesting ways, what's super cool about this podcast is that it's really inspiration to reinvent yourself at any age or any stage. So even if you're not a woman or you're not between 50 and 90, there's a little something in here for you. There's some wisdom that I think that you can garner, and I'm psyched that you stopped by to take a listen. Before we get started with our interview, I always like to take a couple of moments and share a recent podcast review. And this one is actually from my wonderful and amazing friend, Kate House. So thank you, Kate, for writing this review. And Kate said, inspiring, encouraging, and impeccably hosted. Wendy and her guests inspire and encourage me to live boldly, to lean purposefully into my life, to be a reinvention rebel. As a 32-year-old, I wondered if the message of the show would resonate with me on a personal level, and I'm here to say it absolutely does. And to top it all off, Wendy is the most articulate, thoughtful host I've ever come across. Do yourself a favor and tune in today. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Oh my gosh, Kate, I can't believe you wrote that. I am so flattered and honored. Thank you. Thank you for just putting your thoughts into words and sharing that. Because as you know, it can inspire people to listen and also make it easier to find the podcast. Now, I do want to say this. My friend Kate is some kind of amazing. I have to take a moment just to tell you about Kate, because Kate is also an independent podcaster, and I want to encourage all of you listening to give her podcast, Live by Design, a listen. It is awesome, and it's all about living on purpose and with intention, and what happens when we do, the possibilities we can uncover. Really, really worth you listening to this podcast. I think you'll find it inspiring, just like I do. All right. So, Kate, thank you again. I truly appreciate this review and, of course, your amazing friendship. I will tell you, I was recently interviewed by Kate, and our episode, which is a little bit about spirituality, is available on her Live by Design podcast. So, check it out. What happens when creativity, inspiration, and genius converge? You've got a recipe for a juicy, fun, engaging life. That is the journey of my guest today, Ife Michelle Gardine. At 61 years young, she's living her best life, creating new possibilities and leaving a legacy in the New Haven arts community. This fierce reinvention rebel has taken her love of the arts and all things creative to new levels. She created and founded the Elm City Lit Fest in 2020, Elm City Lit Fest is a celebration of literature, literary artists, and literary arts of the African diaspora that will be happening September 11th through 12th. She's also a playwright and writer. Her play, Zoom Life, was produced in a play festival in July at Long Wharf Theater. And her book, Words from a Grown-Ass Woman, is in process for publication. But her connection to the arts is long and deep. Ife has always organized events and created ways to showcase artists. Beginning in 1995 with the Ife Teo Cultural Arts Festival, to 2005 to 2008, Kwanzaa celebrations at Long Wharf Theater. Ife has worked as a community engagement coordinator for the Schubert Theater, Arts Council of Greater New Haven, and Long Wharf Theater. Throughout her life, Ife Michelle has committed to connecting her passion for culture and arts and enhancing the quality of life for her community in a myriad of ways. This fabulous reinvention rebel shines her light for others and helps us all to grow in powerful ways. Ife Michelle Gardine, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. I'm so grateful.
I am grateful you're here and excited. I know we've been talking about doing this for a while, and I feel like the stars aligned, and I just know that we're going to have a really great conversation. You're up to so many cool things that I want to get into. And I want to just start by talking a little bit about the arts. I think arts, Ife. It just seems very synonymous because every time I go anywhere, there you are, number one. You know, you're sort of at everything. You seem to be everywhere, whether it's music or theater or poetry or storytelling. You name it, you're there. How did your passion for the arts unfold?
Growing up in New Haven, I was fortunate enough to... my mother loved music. So, you know, we had the record player with the music playing all the time. And I also danced with Bowen Peters School of Dance for many years. Angela Bowen Peters was like the first and only, I believe, Black dance company in New Haven. And she had a school where all the little Black girls went and taught us more about Katherine Dunham, about the techniques of dance. And we were exposed to the different types of drumming from Cuba to different parts of Africa and South America. And it made it so wonderful and interesting. And I've always been a lover of literature. I've always been a reader. Always loved like the Harlem Renaissance writers and just things, even though like growing up in the time that I grew up in, or a lot of us grew up in, we didn't get a lot exposure to a lot of Black writers. But then, you know, Ntozake Shange and Maya Angelou and everybody started coming of, you know, becoming popular. And when I discovered the Harlem Renaissance writers like Zora Neale Hurston and Langston Hughes and Gwendolyn Brooks, all these, I was like, it just loved it. I just like, and interest in all those things just started coming together in my lifetime. And I always went to things. I was never intimidated or scared of going to a museum or walking in. I love to see art. It's inspiring. It's just something that's always been in my spirit, I guess. And so, my birth name is Michelle, and pregnant with my daughter and looking for names, I ran across the name Ife. And Ife meant love of the creator, love of creativity, love of culture. And I found out there was an arts center, a university and arts center in Nigeria called Ile Ife and University Ife, where it was a whole culture around the arts. And I was like, I don't want to give her that name. I'll take it from me. So I added it. So 32 years ago, I became Ife Michelle because I liked my birth name, but I wanted it to incorporate the arts. And I believe I've did so many things since then that always wanted to incorporate arts and culture in my life. So here we are.
Here we are. And it's so fitting for you, someone who has just sort of soaked up all these arts in many different forms. I like how you describe that, starting at such a young age, so it feels like it's almost part of your DNA, the arts. It's just who you are and what inspires you and lights you up. I love that when we can find something that we are so passionate about that it is something we want to do all the time, that it just sparks something in us. And that's what I hear when you talk about your love for the arts and how you've had this really this lifelong relationship with it, which is great. One thing I know is that women tend to reinvent themselves a lot over the course of our lifetimes. I've done it, and I bet you probably have too. Tell me about your most recent reinvention, and that being creating and founding the Elm City Lit Festival. What inspired you to create this as this lover of the arts?
I was living in New York. I've always been back and forth between New Haven and New York. And so I was living in New York for like last time, 8 years or so. Had to move back to New Haven to care for my mom, who had Alzheimer's. And moving back here was like, I'm tired of working for people.
Yeah.
I've done so many jobs. And when my daughter was in college, I worked for a lot of nonprofits all the time. I even worked in social services for a while with AIDS Interfaith Network and Community Action Agency, doing case management work and working with people in need and incorporating arts in that. And when my daughter in 2008 was going to college, I was like, oh, let me get a job that I can pay, help, like get this person to college. So I started working as an administrative assistant, and through her college years, and she graduated in 2012. And then I moved to New York right after her graduation for a relationship. And then I got and worked in another university, Columbia. Worked there as a senior administrative assistant to a high powered chair of a department, blah. Still going to all the art things though, because I love literature, and I'm always going to a book festival, a book reading, book things, New York Public Library and and all the writers in every borough, going to writing workshops, because I've always written as well and had all these stories and things that I never put out there. But I'm always going to these things and always embracing culture and a believer of, like, I love my culture first. I embrace other cultures, but I love my culture first. I believe, because one of the things I also believe is that we don't know enough about each other's culture. A lot of people don't know enough about African American culture. So coming back to New Haven and looking at all these festivals we have and all these celebrations we have, we didn't have a celebration of culture. Elm City Lit Fest was birthed out of my desire to share African American literature, literary arts, and literary artists with everyone, for everyone to find out the richness and feel the passion of our stories.
Love that. Because I think sometimes people don't know what they don't know, right? It's not necessarily that they were avoiding it. It's just that they were never introduced to it in many cases.
Exactly. And I've been hearing that a lot as in my journey of beginning the Elm City Lit Fest. And it was originally supposed to be in April of 2020, and COVID happened, and we did a pivot.
Yeah.
And which worked for us. We started a bi-weekly podcast, and we had a virtual festival in September last year, and it worked wonderfully.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I think that shows, you know, you got to be flexible, right? We have this vision of what we want to do sometimes. And I know that sometimes I can be a little set in my ways. You know, I'm like, well, I want to do it this way. And this is how I was envisioning it. And that's not always how it manifests. But I think that when we're really open to other possibilities, like you were, it's like, okay, well, it's got to be virtual, but it doesn't mean we can't do it. It just means it'll be different, but it could still be fabulous.
And it was open, and it opened it up to a broader audience, and I could, I didn't have to worry about bringing anybody in. Everyone just could, as we are talking now, just get on their computer, put on some headphones, and be with us. And it, that was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. I've been blessed. You know, word of mouth has been wonderful, and the following has been global.
Wow. Tell me about that. How did you, so you end up with this virtual event, which means the good news is you can attract people from anywhere, as it sounds like you did. How did you do that?
Well, as I said, when I lived in New York, I fangirled some people.
So you had your network already.
I built a network because, you know, when you're at some event, you buy somebody's book. Oh, you got to sign it. Oh, girl, start talking to them, blah, blah, and stay in touch, and then go to another event they have in. And I fangirled a few writers, and they loved seeing you. And some people were just having small readings at the library, at the public library in different parts of Brooklyn. And I've always been an explorer. I've never been someone that's limited as far as where I'll go to something. And it just went from there, and then referrals and people. And now we have several writers coming out the woodwork. And I'm grateful also that two good friends of mine opened a bookstore, People Get Ready.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dolores Williams and Lauren Anderson. That they were opening the bookstore simultaneously as I was.
Amazing.
Doing the Lit Fest.
Yeah. And it's funny too, how things, I think that when we can put our intention out there and we have this vision, but we aren't so intent on trying to control things, which I know when we want to create something, it's easy to do that, to want to just like make it happen the way we want it to happen. But I think that when we can have some measure of surrender, we put out there this vision and this intention, but at the same time, we surrender and understand that it can really unfold organically, then this is an example of what you can create.
And I've come to a place also through experiences of my life, of things that I've survived, that at 61, it's like, I accept how this is going to happen. This is what I envision. This is what I want to happen. My intention in creating the Lit Fest was to create another destination event for New Haven. We have Arts and Ideas. I was fortunate enough in the years ago, 25, 26 years ago, to sit in on meetings when they were planning the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. And they said, one of the things that the founding woman said was they wanted to create a destination event for this city, for this region. And that stuck with me. And when I attend the Brooklyn Book Festival, the Harlem Book Festival, Boston Book Festival, or Oakland Book, and see those cities are destinations. This is a small city, big town, but it can also have another destination event.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Ripples are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey.
with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes.
Exactly. And why not? Why not make it this great event that attracts people from all over? Because I know in Connecticut, it you're right, it's this small city, big town kind of thing, where it's not some major city where people are, it is a destination, and people are going for lots of different reasons, and there's tons of touristy things to do, or something that attracts people naturally.
And there are also very few book festivals focused on, I've yet to find a book festival that is the literature of the African diaspora in this country. And on the continent, they have Nigerian, you know, they have book festivals for African folk. In this country, I have yet to hear about a book festival that is for African American diaspora, literature of the African American diaspora. There is a Brooklyn Caribbean Book Festival, okay, where they focus on the Caribbean writers, which is a plethora. But we come from in America, we're a product of so many things in the diaspora. So that's what we have to focus on, because our literature is squashed. There are so many adults, African Americans, that are not aware of our classics. And then the writers that are, there's so many writers out here now burgeoning. I mean, and I guess COVID again, the creativity has been surging.
Yes.
Surging. And it's wonderful. And we focus on local, regional, and global authors of the African diaspora.
It sounds amazing. And I love the fact that there is nothing else like this, that it is so original, all birthed by you. This nugget of an idea that now is turned into this growing festival is really fantastic. And, you know, sometimes things just unfold in just the right way, even though sometimes it's not what we envision, but it always works out in the end. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So the festival is taking place this September.
This September. Actually, on September 9th, we're going to have a jazz fundraiser with a young man named, we'll be featuring a young man that's from New Haven, who is a jazz musician that performs globally. His name is Waleke Duma LaPierre. I love saying his name.
Oh, yes. That's good, girl. I'm like, what was that again? Mm.
Waleke Duma LaPierre. And he actually went to ECA, came up through New Haven Public Schools.
Wonderful.
Very talented, global jazz artist that's about 31, 32 years old. And so he'll be playing. And we have acquired from a man named Kenneth Lewis in New Jersey, an artist, visual artist in New Jersey, did a Harlem Renaissance series. And I was like, oh, I have to get a couple of those paintings. So I went down and acquired a couple of his paintings that we will be auctioning, that are Harlem Renaissance writers. And we'll be talking with a jazz musician out of Harlem, in conversation with him. His name is Craig Harris. And Craig composed the soundtrack for Judas and the Black Messiah, the movie, among other things. So we have that on Thursday the 9th. And our theme this year is the Harlem Renaissance, from Paris to Harlem to the Elm City.
I love it. That is great.
So we'll have our Harlem Jazz Night on the 9th. On the Friday night, we're going to have Paris is Burning. And it's a tribute to James Baldwin's book, Giovanni's Room. and we'll have a Giovanni's Room themed, drag show. And wonderful. So that's happening. So those are two fundraising events that will be on Eventbrite and Patreon. So we can raise some money for our next year. And because we also, everyone that comes on as a participant in the festival and on the podcast receives a stipend of some kind or honorarium. Cause I do believe that people need to also pay the artists. Okay.
Absolutely. Because
folks always wanted like artists to show up, do something right. for free.
Exactly. No. Exactly.
They're doing it. So, and then Saturday we have the festival featuring, children who write, telling stories, doing their poetry, acting, how they want to do it. We also have professional storytellers. We're going to have drummers and children's activities throughout the day. We will have an author's forum, and that will include, an author called Disha Filyaw, named Disha Filyaw. She did a book called The Secret Lives of Church Ladies. Okay.
Oh, that'll get quite an audience.
Okay. And a lady, Jai Richardson, that is out of Canada.
It sounds fantastic.
It's been.
It sounds really exciting.
Among a lot of Connecticut authors too. Yeah. And poets. And then on Sunday, the 12th, we'll have all the programming will be at People Get Ready in their wonderful book space. And it will be Eventbrite and Patreon only. And we'll have a creative writing workshop with a Connecticut-based writer named Shauna Melton, who is wonderful, does wonderful things. She's an artist as well. And a young man that will do a poetry workshop, Devon Glover, who is the sonnet man. He raps Shakespeare's. He raps Shakespeare sonnets all over the world to music, hip hop Shakespeare sonnet, and he teaches teachers how to teach Shakespeare in a hip hop way. I'm excited.
I'm excited for this too. This sounds amazing, and that makes me think that. You had this global audience before because people could join. They had to join virtually because of COVID. Part of what I hear you saying is you're going to be doing all these events in person. But imagine that I have all these amazing listeners.
They're doing hybrid. Yeah. They'll also be live.
Okay. And that is the question. Because I know people are going to be saying, this sounds so amazing. I really want to attend, but I live in California or Australia or somewhere else. Wonderful.
Right. So both of the fundraisers will be also live streamed so people can join with Patreon because they are fundraisers. And the Authors Forum will be also live streamed. The live event with the children's things will be outdoors. Connecticut Center for Arts and Technology has kindly agreed to let us utilize some outdoor space they have. So we have a stage and all that will be outdoors. But the Authors Forum on Saturday will be at People Get Ready. And on Sunday, everything will be at People Get Ready. And everything at People Get Ready will be live streamed.
Wonderful. That is great because for those of you that are listening, you'll see in the show notes, we'll link to information about the festival. So you'll be able to find out more, whether you can come in person or attend virtually, but it's such an exciting event. I want to make sure that everybody has, easy access to find out more information about that. Hey, amazing listeners. Are you feeling a little social? Come join me on social media for a big dose of inspiration. You'll find me on Instagram at Reinvention Rebels. Same thing on Facebook. And also I'm on Twitter at Rebels Reinvent. I look forward to seeing you soon. I know, Ife, is that when we were younger, we could reinvent ourselves many times over because it felt like we had a lot of time. No rush. I'm 20-something. I'm 30-something. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've got my whole life ahead of me. But I know that as we age, we all know we have less time. So I'm really curious about what you've learned from your different reinvention experiences, whether it's this most recent one, creating the Lit Fest, or from other times you've reinvented yourself. What have you learned about yourself from the process of reinvention?
I have learned, and this probably, to be transparent, my mother was a very depressed person and restrictive. And always said, oh, we can't do that. Oh, you can't, like, oh, no, I can't do that. Or I'm afraid of letting everybody know your business or do this or that. And I think that I've always been ready to move, like ready to jump at it. Like there are people I went to high school with who I went to a bunch of retirement parties since I've been back here. In 2018, I came back. Everybody's retired. They've been working at this job for 30 years. They've been doing this. They've been doing that. I was like, wow. I never stayed anywhere past 5 years. I mean, and I don't feel bad about it. It was just my life journey just took me. I had different interests. And I was like, was I eight? You know, for a while, I was like, am I ADHD? What's going to happen? But you know what? Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, I'm at my 60th birthday. I wanted to celebrate in New Orleans. So I just told a bunch of people. I told everybody I knew. I was like, I'm going to be in New Orleans for my 60th birthday. Whoever wants to come, let me know. 17 people came.
Wow.
Right. They're like, oh, I want to go. I want to go. We had a ball.
I bet.
It was pre-COVID. It was 2019. So we had... in September, so it was warm, but it wasn't unbearably hot, and it was a good time of year because it wasn't like swelled up with a whole bunch of tourists. It was fun. We had a good time, and I've always been like not afraid to change or afraid of something, but like let me try this. Not afraid to fail. Like, oh well, what's the lesson I learned in this? It ain't been easy. There have been struggles along the way. There have been many things I survived. Mm-hmm. Child, that's a whole nother show. Got stories. But it's like, something within me just always wanted to maintain some joy. We have enough causes in life. We have enough happening in the world that is so treacherous. You know, Black Lives Matter and this, and like so many things matter, so many injustices that we have to fight for and stand up for. And yes, I support causes. I'm out there sometimes in these streets doing some things. Not so much anymore. I do things like when I was younger, you know, I joined the December 12th coalition in New York with some stopping the subways and doing radical things and all that. But now I could support those things in another way.
Yeah.
Use a platform as like you have a platform, like you support things in other ways. And you also learn that, you know, there's a lot that people don't know and that makes them afraid. And, you know, you just got to keep moving. I just gotta keep moving, and I refuse. I have gotten to the point where I refuse to lose joy at the base of everything. Lose joy, lose a love and compassion for life and for humanity. You know, so
yeah, and I understand what you're saying about trying to create more joy, given all of the difficult situations which we find ourselves in, whether it's locally or nationally or globally, and all the struggles, kind of digging deep and being able to tune into that space, I think is so important. It's so important for self-care and self-preservation, especially as we age. Like part of what I hear you saying is you know, you add value, like you've always added value, but you're adding value in different ways. And mm-hmm. that, you know, part of the wisdom of aging is that you can step back and say, there's many different ways I can add value and I can make a difference in the world. And I like, and you know, and the festival is such a powerful way when you think about changing minds and broadening horizons. Such a powerful legacy that you're creating for New Haven, for, you know, our Black community in New Haven, but for communities everywhere. And I think that that's, you know, that's just a powerful thing to be able to see and do. So I can see how these different reinventions and the different things you've experienced, to me, speaks to this expansive mindset that you have. Because I hear you saying, well, when I was growing up, it was sort of small. There were a lot of limits. And part of what I hear you saying is, I'm thinking big, I'm being bold, I'm not afraid to fail, because there's a lesson in everything.
Mm-hmm. I call on the strength of both of my grandmothers. I was the oldest grandchild for both of them. And they were two very different women who, and as they got older, became sort of both the same kind of woman. But my father's mother was that party girl who caught the train down from Ansonia, Connecticut, down to the Cotton Club in Harlem and partied and did her thing. And my mother's mother migrated up from North Carolina with her with her sisters and brothers to work at the Winchester Gun Factory, as did my grandfather, my mother's father, and his family migrated up from Georgia. Again, went in Winchester Gun Factory was someplace that up until World War I, only white men worked there. Like, people don't talk about the segregation of the North. They talk about a lot about the segregation of the South, but not the segregation of the North. And when World War I came out, all the white men went to war. So they had to hire the Black people to work to make the guns. And the migration, that's how migration happened here in Connecticut, throughout Connecticut, with artillery, not just the guns, and like Sikorsky, Winchester, Pratt and Whitney, a lot of the stuff in the valley, and all these Black people came up to live there and settled into these neighborhoods. And I grew up with Southern traditions, right? And listening to my grandmother and her sisters, my mother's mother and her sisters used to quilt. And they had a quilting circle. And I used to be, because I was the oldest grandchild, I have to like pick up the pins and cut the pieces and everything. And I, as a child, I'm like, oh!
I'm sure. That's not fun.
It's not fun. Or they would have tea parties and they would get dressed up and I'd have to do things like set the table. My grandmother's sister, Elnora Bess, was like one of the first Black businesswomen in New Haven. She actually got a star on the walkway on Crown Street. But she was a millinery person. She sold everything from lampshades to hats to clothes and slip covers for furniture and all that thing. And she went to FIT in the 30s, 40s, something like that. And so, and she had an etiquette school for Black girls. So of all my cousins, I was like, why am I the only one that's forced to go to the etiquette school? But my mother was named after my grandmother's sister, Elnora. So she's like, you just have to go. So I went to, and these are things, again, in my lifetime that I reflect on that fed me. And then I feel like I remember having holidays, which were, we open our presents at home. And then I go to one grandmother's house, my mother's mother and father, and it was a religious household. And we all, the whole family gathered together. I'm the oldest of 30 cousins on that side. So my mother had eight siblings. She's the middle child of nine. And so everyone coming together and having holidays. And then going to my father's family's house, and the same thing, food's on the stove, everything's happening. People are playing cards, jamming the music, smoking, drinking, blah, blah. And still the same kind of, but it's, and it's say all, all those things. It was like, I had the best of both worlds. Both of my grandmothers were supporters of the Black Panthers. They allowed them to meet in their homes. They did some cooking for the breakfast program. I remember the rallies on the green for the trials and the speeches and the marches through the streets, things like that. And at the same time, my mother sent my brothers and I to Catholic school. We're the only Black people in the Catholic school because there was during that time of resurgence, there was also an integration. It was like, instead of spending money shipping kids to other schools, how come you don't put some money into the schools that where they're at? You know what I mean? You know, so went to Catholic school, and my mother worked for a Jewish man. And he was the president of the Jewish Center. So we went to Jewish Center camp.
So you had all these different, very diverse experiences just from within your family and then outside of your family that to me have all shaped you into, like any of us, the people that we are today.
Yeah, exactly. Going from Baptist church to Catholic school church to bat mitzvahs.
Yeah, that's more than a notion.
Girl.
That is you're covering the bases.
We cover all the bases, and it's in maintaining my Black self. I remember having a Jewish friend named Roxanne, and her hair was as thick as mine. And my uncle owned one of the first beauty supply stores in New Haven, Unique Boutique.
Oh, before
you know, there was a whole plethora of stores. It was Unique Boutique. And her mother, like, we go to her house, go to be in her pool, and her mother would just be fussing about her hair. I bought her a perm one day, and one weekend I was over her house, and I was like, let's do this. And her mother was like, oh my God. I brought some products over. I bought the perm and the products and did her hair, and they were happy.
Isn't that's so interesting.
Just fascinating.
So you've had these really varied, very rich experiences over the course of your life in New Haven and other places. You've reinvented yourself many times over, but most recently this really fabulous reinvention. And that brings me to this question about how you would encourage women, because you have this broad, expansive mindset about reinvention and what's possible, that anything is possible. And even if something else doesn't work out, there's a lesson in that that might lead me to something else. But I know that certainly as we age, often we might not have that same expansive mindset or see the possibilities that you're able to see. What advice do you have for women that are interested in reinventing themselves, but they're not exactly sure where to start? What advice would you have for someone who wants to kind of dip their toe in?
I mean, I think it'll be cliche, but follow your passion. Like, if there's something you're passionate about, and if you read all these self-help books and motivational books and everything, people are following their passion.
Yes.
Like, and the most successful people are doing what they're passionate about.
Yes.
You know, I have relatives now that are concerned about me because, like, you're getting older, you don't have a job, and oh my God, what about a pension? And what about this? And what about, like, I don't work so many jobs. I will have Social Security. I'm not worried. I'm not going to stop doing anything. I'm just not. I feel like I may reinvent myself again.
Yeah.
You know,
and why not? Why shouldn't you?
And with the Lit Fest, I have a team of younger people than me working with me because I actually don't like wintertime. So I want to get to the place when I'm 65.
Girl,
to
I hear
70.
That.
When
I
I'm
hear
65
that.
To 70, from November to April, I don't want to be in Connecticut. I don't want to be no snow. Yeah. I want to leave Connecticut when it starts snowing and come back when the snow is finished. Okay?
Yeah. Say no more. I totally you know. Feel you on that. Because I feel the same way. I'm
where
no can fan.
I mean, unless there comes another COVID variant of super, because child, this is a mess. I'll be doing something. I might be a docent at a museum. I don't know. I might take up art history because I found out after 62, you could take free classes in Connecticut, like free college classes. So I
really?
Might like. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You could go to a state university for free. 62. Girl.
So many benefits of aging.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows? And then I embrace aging. Like, I know. I don't want to be 25 again. Uh-uh. I enjoyed it, but I learned from it. And I have all those experiences to go on. And I advise anybody, if you're ready, because I have friends now that, again, they've been in their job. Everybody isn't always going to pursue things. Some people are more comfortable where they are, that clocking in, clocking out, you know, and then having to use their vacation and sick time and all that. And I just live Ife.
Yeah.
The essence of culture and creativity. And that's what feeds me, you know, which is sometimes hard for, because I've been single for a minute, and it's sometimes hard for people to grasp because I have an energy, I guess, that men are attracted to, and they like the idea of it, but the reality of it is like, oh my God. And I'm hopeful. I'm like, listen, there's a man out there that's okay with this. And he got something to do, because I can't be the cruise director for life now. Come on, we could bring our lives together, share lives, but I don't want to be the cruise director. But that works for some people; it's just not working for me.
Right. So you're blazing your own trail. What I hear you saying is that you're blazing your own trail as you age, that you can see all kinds of new possibilities in your future, some of them that you haven't even uncovered yet.
Yes. And I'm excited.
Yeah. Excited. And I think that idea that you mentioned, you know, what can people do? What can women do that want to reinvent themselves and they're not sure where to get started? What I heard you say was tune into what lights you up, whatever that passion is. And I couldn't agree with you more. I feel like that's the same thing for me. Like I found that my true passion is podcasting, and it's what I love. Just like you love putting together your festival and bringing people together and you sharing
the
culture.
You love talking to people, Wendy. You love talking to people. And this is natural for you.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
And I think that when we can find whatever that thing is, and part of the fun of it, I think, is being curious and exploring different things. And some things may lead to a dead end, but other things may lead to something we never even imagine when it comes to reinventing ourselves. So I think that when we can be open to the possibilities and not have to feel like we have an agenda, like I have to do X, Y, and Z.
But, yeah, and take that pressure off yourself. Like
exactly.
Like, and I'm a Virgo, so I'm like, and I've also kind of learned not to be so rigid.
Yeah, me too.
With my expectation.
Yeah, me too. Oh, girl, I'm with you. I can be the same way.
And it's like, you're like creating your own ceiling.
Yes.
Or comparing yourself to someone else. Because I feel like there's enough for everyone to do.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, we each have our own gift. There's something that we each shine at. Maybe you haven't quite figured out what that thing is. And I will tell you, it took me 54 years to figure out that my greatest joy is inspiring women, older women, to reinvent themselves. It took me forever. I was always wondering, you know, I feel like there's something I'm meant to do, that I was brought here on this earth for a reason. But I, and you know, I had jobs, I was successful, but it was never the thing. It was never, it was just like, sure, this is good. But I always felt like something was missing. And I think it takes that openness that you're talking about, that curiosity, the idea that we don't have to feel so limited in options, that when we can create, be a little more expansive, things mm-hmm. can open up. And mm-hmm. as you mentioned before we even got started on the interview, one thing can lead to the next. When we have intention and we have faith in whatever that thing is we're passionate about and doing, we don't have to make it so hard. I've personally found that things have unfolded in this natural way when I can surrender and trust that it's working, that it's, you know, but I'm going in the right direction. And I think it's the same thing for any of us at any age when we're reinventing ourselves.
And moving forward in gratitude and not doubt, and gratitude and giving thanks for what the day is going to bring, and go with the ebb and the flow, and saying, okay, but it's an ebb. Oh my God. The universe is trying to give me a lesson. What is the lesson in this? And not wallowing in, oh, poor me. Oh my God. You know, because there have been times in my life when I was complaining about a situation so much, I got tired of hearing myself.
I know exactly what you mean.
I'm like, I'm tired of talking about this. How am I going to make this different? And then, and reflecting on that. So I'm at the point now, I, you know, and embracing, like when I turn 50 and when people are turning 50 and regretting, I was like, welcome to the other side. Okay. Think about all the things you learned up to 50 and you made it. Like, we also have to be grateful for every year of life. These days, when people of every age are dying of everything, people losing their babies. I mean, it's a sad thing to think about, but just another day is another opportunity to make it happen. Even if you're a procrastinator. Okay, you didn't do it that day. Get to the next day. Come on.
Yeah, I think that that's so true. And that gratitude does play such an important part. I think many people have a deeper appreciation for it after COVID, after having experienced so much heartache. And I know it was different for everyone. Everyone had their own form of heartache during the pandemic. But I think that, you know, having that grateful heart and focusing on what we do have and not what we don't. And your idea about the lessons, that when I'm in a difficult situation, I try to do the same thing, step back and say, well, what is the lesson in this? And instead of being full of fear, how can I move toward love? How can I use love as a catalyst to help me navigate the situation? And I feel like, you know, and part of that is just wisdom, I guess, from getting older. Because, okay, you know, even 10 years ago, I wasn't necessarily, I was maybe thinking some of those things, but not to the same extent. But I think I'm just wiser.
And really not being afraid to own your mistakes, because, like, people are so, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
I did it. I messed up. Oops. I didn't know. I'll work on that. I need to work on that, you know. All kinds of things, you know.
It's so true. Hey, amazing listeners. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes. You are someone who is clearly very unapologetic in your desire to spread the power and beauty of the arts in New Haven and beyond, and certainly of the African diaspora, you know, with the festival. What advice do you have for our listeners about how they can become more unapologetic, the way that you are. I mean, I'm not suggesting that they're going to be just like Ife. I don't mean that, of course, because I think we can all become unapologetic in our own way. But how can someone sort of step up in their life?
You got to own yourself, like own your, it's like body image, right? You see now, it was just wonderful, like big, beautiful women that are showing their stuff in lingerie on Instagram, and they own it. Yeah. They unapologetic. This is me.
Yes.
I still feel sexy with all my roles. Women over, like I just saw, oh my God, today. Because, you know, you fall into the TikTok, Instagram hole sometime. Just once in a while. I saw Shirley Ralph, 64 years old, in a bikini in the Bahamas. Just like walking, just strutting. You know, own it. Own however you are. We have been told as Black women, as Latino, whoever women, that you're less than, you're not. I don't know even how to, and be encouraging of each other. Be appreciative of each other. Like, then that's something I always see. I was like, I appreciate my sisters. I appreciate how women look. I'll tell a woman, oh, I like your dress today. That's a nice color for you. Sometimes people are surprised to hear that, but need to hear it. And just little things like that. I don't know. The advice I would be, you know, try your best to get out of your own head and own it. Own how you are. Own the imperfections and everything, and people will come. And it doesn't matter how many likes you have or this, because people, like I've been told, you're always having a good time. You're always this. Like, who shows their downtime? Who shows their downtime? Who shows when they want to be in the bed curled up under the covers, not getting out of bed? And then when something bad does happen, you know, I am transparent. I'm like, I want to tell my story. I don't want you to gossip, because gossip is someone else telling your story and giving the ending. That, no, this is, I'll tell somebody in a minute if they ask about anything in my life. Yeah, this is what happened, and that I had to get through it. And also, I need help. If I need help with something, you know, as I shared with you my recent incident, I needed help. I had to call on people that I know that could handle the situation. We have to get out of our own heads and stop holding, like, there's no such thing. I always say, I'm not that superwoman. I'm not that super. I got to cry. I need shoulders to lean on. I need my sisterhood. I need a man to hold me because I'm heterosexual. If you homosexual, however you need somebody to hug you, hold you. You need somebody to hear you. Don't be afraid of therapy. Therapists are really busy right now.
Yeah, they really are.
And worth every penny that you either have or your insurance has. If you got insurance, use that insurance.
Couldn't agree more.
Holla at somebody. Release, release, release. That's my advice would be release it. Because I watched, again, reflecting on my own mother. She held so much in. And it was so painful that I always, always, always worked to not be that, living that pain. I don't want to see anybody else living that pain. I don't want to live in that pain, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And to me, you know, if I had to sum up what you said, I feel like you're saying you should be your authentic self. That, and get help if you need it to uncover that. And I do think that as we age, you know, we get clearer about these things, about being our true selves, about being vulnerable, about telling someone and being transparent. And the way when I was younger, I wanted to make it look like I had everything, like everything was working, that, you know, I kind of had it all together. And now I've come to realize that it's much more important for me, right, to just be honest with myself.
Wendy, people are people always say, oh, how you doing? Oh, girl, how you doing? How you doing? If I'm not doing good, I will say, if you really want to know, I don't say if you really want to know, but if you really asking me how I'm doing, I'm not doing well. I'm going through this right now. I've been asking people for help. Do you know anybody? Do you know anything? And it takes people back sometimes, but folks are very forthcoming with information or a resource that they may have. Or they may just say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. All right, I'll take your prayer. But understand, and it's also part of telling your own story. Because they may have heard something or not. Who cares? It's just like, listen, I'm telling you, I'm going through right now. So if you see me not in a high place or see me looking a certain way, don't take it personal. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just in my step. I'm in my stuff. And I got to work through my stuff. Because if you don't work through it and you holding it, it builds up inside you and becomes bitterness, envy, depression, all of that. And I have been through all of those feelings.
Yeah. Not to even mention the physical manifestations that can also come from all of that, trying so hard to keep it under wraps.
And I also keep it moving because I will bike, hike, yoga, meditate, occasionally do like some workouts or something. When I feel myself, I have to work it out.
Yeah.
So there you are.
I love it. Many, many different things that we can do. And I think this is such amazing encouragement, advice, food for thought for people that are listening who are just trying to figure it out. We're all trying to figure it out. Life is a big mystery. And I do feel like as I'm getting older, I have a lot more clarity. It's, you know, in some ways life is more complicated, but in other ways it's easier because I know myself better. I can own those feelings. I can be more authentic. And that's so freeing to be able to be yourself is, which I know sounds probably silly, but it does to me feel like very freeing to own that the way you're talking about.
And I tell women that are experiencing breakups or releasing themselves from a relationship. I said, you know, you got to think of it as liberating. Like I say in any of my breakups, I liberated myself from a situation that was no longer good for me. Because in liberating yourself, that means there was a war going on. And you and you overcame it and it was liberation.
Yeah.
Power.
Power. Power to ourselves, really.
Right. A breakup is that means you broke it. A lot of times your mindset has to change to no, I released myself from that and I liberated myself from that. Because there's power in that.
Yeah.
Breakup means it's broken. I'm gonna lament. Every time I think about somebody, I'm going to have tears. And liberate yourself means I got to go to the next thing because I conquered that.
Yes. And that's a very different mindset, getting to that place. And I feel like that's very much of a reinvention rebel mindset when we can, again, even in those tough situations, see possibility. Even when things don't work out the way we want or intend, still, we can live in possibility for what might be next. And that's really what you're saying. I love it. So as we are wrapping up, I know people are going to want to know, where can they find Ife Michelle Gardine? And how can they learn more about the Elm City Lit Festival coming in September of 2021? So tell us a little bit about where folks can find you, how they can connect with you in social media, or find out more about the festival.
Okay. So my social media, Instagram is Ife Michelle Rose, at Ife Michelle Rose. And then Elm City Lit Fest at elmcitylitfest.com. And also at Elm City Lit Fest or Lit Fest on Instagram and Elm City Lit Fest on Facebook. Yeah.
Wow. So pretty multiple much. Ways.
Multiple ways
to connect with you. And all of that will be in the show notes. So if you missed hearing all that, not to worry. You can just look in the show notes and you can find all the links. It'll be directly linked to all of Ife's accounts. So you can easily find and connect with her. I have to tell you, it's been such a pleasure and a joy.
I appreciate your time. I appreciate you inviting me. I was like so excited when you did. I was like, oh, I qualify. Okay.
Is a reinvention. I was like, oh, yeah, that is a true reinvention rebel, creating, reinventing, seeing new possibilities, the openness that you have to at any age. And I love that. At any age or any stage, I often say when it comes to being a reinvention rebel, there really are no limits unless we set them for ourselves. And you are such an amazing example of that. So, sister girl, Thank you. For coming and gracing us with your beautiful presence.
And your presence is appreciated, and Reinvention Rebels is dynamic because, honey, these women are on fire.
Oh, yes.
You have been finding women on fire, fire, fire.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Reinvention Rebels podcast today. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did and found it interesting, insightful, and inspiring. I've got a small favor to ask. If you love this, would you do me a favor and share a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts via your phone or iPad and share what you loved about it? Do you know that it makes it easier for people to find the Reinvention Rebels podcast when I get more reviews? And don't you think it's an awesome idea to make this kind of inspiration easier to find for our listeners? So thanks in advance for your time, your words, and your review. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Talk soon. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help as your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast. I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.